Good evening and welcome to Scratched Up Radio Theater on KKRN Community Radio. Tonight's presentation, Points, was written by the late Bill Seymour. Bill, who passed away in November of 2016, was a founding member of the Scratched Up Players. Our very name, Scratched Up Radio Theater, is taken from Bill's play, Scratched Up. And now, Points, one of the last plays written by Mr. Seymour.
No, no, please, take the kids. I can change. I can change!
Citizen 9224CX221 has met their reward.
It's the not-too-distant future. We encounter a world rendered peaceful and compliant through elaborate codes and rules that keep things orderly. Any open discontent is rare and quickly dealt with. Certain challenges, mainly overcrowding and limited resources, persist and might hinder the status quo were it not for the governing body. This wise and secretive assembly has devised a system of points by which it is decided when a person is rewarded with the opportunity to sacrifice all for the general welfare. On this day, in the year 2083, Citizen 45A has been brought before the court.
Citizen 9224CX221 has met their reward.
Next on the docket, your honor is 45A17XX01.
Don't touch me!
You will face the judge.
All right, just keep your hands off me.
45A, raise your hand. Do you understand that the purpose of this hearing is to determine the number of points you have at this time, pursuant to the power vested in me by the Code of Humanity and the Points Board?
Yes.
Could you speak louder, 45A?
Sure.
Sure?
Yes, Your Honor.
Now then, 45A, do you understand that should the number of points equal or exceed 100, that you will be rewarded immediately and that there is no appeal?
I received that notice a long time ago. I just forgot about it until they came and got me.
Do you promise to tell the truth in all matters before this court, and do you understand that your failure to do so will result in an additional 10 points being added to your score, as determined by this court today?
I do.
As you know, this is your mandated yearly point review. Bailiff, could we post 45A's records to the screen, please? I see this is your first time before the tribunal. Your review was scheduled for almost 7 years ago. However, that usually works in the favor of the witnesses.
Could I?
Could you what?
Could I? Is there another time? Maybe next week?
Why?
Maybe I should confer with...
I'm just really upset. The man who was here before me, why?
You were born on December 18th, 2040. That makes you 43 years old, automatically giving you 43 points. In addition, you had three children. That's another 45 points. Most people don't have any children, at the most one. Well, the Points Board has been publishing warnings for years, ever since the points system was announced. You have 88 points.
Citizen 45A17XX01 has earned 88 points.
In addition, it appears that you have engaged in some other point-enhancing activities. Do you promise to tell the truth in all matters before the court?
I do, Your Honor.
Do you have evidence that you believe is helpful in determining 45A's points?
Yes, Your Honor.
What is it?
Well, coming up on your screen is video evidence that 45A has participated in three demonstrations against the Points Board, including one held on September 18, 2082 in Washington, D.C. That was the one in which participants assaulted the Points Board security officers, ran nude through the streets, and fornicated.
I remember. Do you have evidence of 45A's participation in those particular activities?
I didn't. I was on my way home from work, and some friends had...
Not yet, but 45A was there. Some of the pictures aren't all that clear. However, we also have video and eyewitness testimony that 45A has been attending meetings of the so-called Let Us Live Society.
Whoa!
She was at last month's secret meeting. Our informant can testify to her level of participation.
Judge, if you want to know what I'm doing, ask me. I'll tell you.
My client objects to this evidence.
I am not your client. You work for the points board.
45A, you are his client, whether you like it or not. Control yourself. If there are any more outbursts, I will have you restrained.
But I...
The law states that all who come before this court must be represented. However, private attorneys don't seem to want these cases for some reason. So the points board has provided you with representation. More...
Finally, we have video and first-hand evidence of the office romance.
But 3B9's just a friend. We never...
Is the other compliant?
Yes, Your Honor, with the usual stipulations.
What do you mean, usual stipulations? He wouldn't do that.
If you continue to disrespect this court, we will be forced to take you into protective custody. You will lose your right to argue your case.
Your Honor... I have just received some new information I believe you will find valuable.
Not that it matters at this point. Your false denials would only add to your points. You've already qualified for your reward, 45A.
Citizen 45A17XX01 has now qualified for a reward.
I want to know how you have figured that out.
You had 88 points before we even arrived at the doorstep of your antisocial behavior, 45A.
I'll take her points.
Quiet. I'll have you restrained.
I'll take her points. It says so.
Who are you?
36515AZA5.
Is this true?
I don't.
Where does it say you can take her points?
Article 18, paragraph 7A of the code.
Yes, on the screen now.
But I don't know you. Why? Why are you...
Quiet. Well, 365, it does say, and I quote, in extraordinary circumstances as determined by the administrative law judge, points may be subtracted from the score of one witness and added to the score of another witness. All parties must be in agreement. Said point transfer must be approved by the judge. Is that your understanding of the law, 365?
Yes, Your Honor.
Why do you know this section of the law?
I wanted to be ready.
Witnesses don't come into this court ready. They come in scared to death of what's going to happen. Ready for what?
To take someone's points, so they could live.
You are ready to sacrifice your life?
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, what do you believe are the extraordinary circumstances in this case?
Your Honor, maybe I should speak with the witness in 365 before we proceed.
The court will hear what he has to say.
45A is young. She has children to raise.
There are many qualified couples who have agreed not to have children. In exchange, the board gives them the children of our rewarded witnesses without charging them any points. That's the best of both worlds, don't you think? Put up 36515AZA5's records, please. I see that you are 70 years old, 365. One child grown. So, you have 85 points.
Citizen 36515AZA5 has earned 85 points.
I see no obvious point-enhancing behavior. I'm sure we could find something if we looked. What other arguments do you have?
I don't want to be here anymore.
The court is not interested in your reasons for wishing to die, 365.
I want to go back to the way it was when my grandfather traveled around the country in his VW bus, and my grandmother raised rabbits and roses, and we all had names.
Yes, yes.
If that's all you have, then your testimony is concluded, 365. Any further comments in this vein will be contempt of court.
When there weren't so many rules.
Yes, he's right.
That is enough. You may sit back down, 365.
When our friends weren't given point reductions for telling on us.
When we didn't live our lives in fear of points.
Bailiff, clear the courtroom.
And if we wanted to have children, we could. I come from a large family. I had 5 brothers and sisters. They're all gone now. Broke too damn many of your rules. Ran out of points. I was always the good son. Well, I'm tired of it. Tired of living. Give me her points. I'll walk through that damn door.
Bailiff, subdue 365 now.
How many points do you have, Judge?
No!
No, don't hurt him. I'll keep my points.
We'll have order in this courtroom. Both of them, get them out of here to their rewards. Now!
I'll take their points. I don't want to live here either.
I'll take her points.
His yeah,
points.
Me too.
Order! Order in this court! Please! Please!
Judge, what's wrong? What's wrong? Someone help him. Judge, what's
wrong?
No!
Order! Order in the court! Please!
Judge, what's wrong? Someone help the judge.
No, stay away. It's okay, I'm fine. I'm remembering, that's all. Gosh, yes, it was this time of year, the oak leaves just turning and the chill in the air.
Judge?
We'd pack the truck and head for the mountains. Me and Dad. We'd fish.
Your Honor?
Rookies. My God, they were big fat ones, you can't imagine. Then we'd head home and Mom would cook him up. Gloria, that was her name. But Dad always called her Sugar. Sugar.
What's wrong with him?
What do we do?
Oh, Judge, where are you going?
I'm Bill Sims.
Katie Watkins.
Elijah Thompson.
Hal Smith.
Sheila Pearls.
Caleb Riggins.
My name is Pert. James L. Pert.
System malfunction.
Tonight's cast includes John Welsh as the judge, Linda Reagan as 45A, Bob Christensen as 365, Craig Boyer as the bailiff, Jim Dowling as the investigator, and Dickie Magadoff as the representative, and your host tonight. We are saddened to inform you of the loss of our artistic director and dear friend, Elsie Ritchie. We lost Elsie this past November 7th to cancer. If you wouldn't mind indulging us a bit, we would like to spend the time remaining in tribute to our friend and colleague, Ms. Elsie. Ms. Elsie was very active in the theater community here in Reading, acting in roles with Axiom Repertory Theater, Riverfront Playhouse, Shasta College, working here on our radio project, volunteering with the Cancer Society, and on and on. In our production of Spare My Brother, a story about a robbery and hanging here in Reading in 1892, Ms. Elsie played the role of Hiram, the town drunk.
Shut up!
There were times when Ms. Elsie would host the show. Here she is hosting Doubt is Our Product.
Now then, imagine yourself seated at a large table in the conference room of a major public relations firm, circa 1964. A meeting of the R.J. Reynolds team is about to commence. A report by the Surgeon General's office has just been released linking cigarette smoking to lung cancer. The meeting's agenda contains just one item, brainstorming arguments to counter that report.
My name's Bob Christensen, and I'm here with a group of people. We want to discuss Elsie, how we met her, and just what she meant to us. Joining me tonight is John Welsh, Madeline Stacy, Linda Reagan, and Jim Dowling. John, how did you meet Elsie?
Well, I actually saw her on stage before I met her. I was in Dixie Swim Club. And of all things, she was playing a pregnant nun. Now, there's only a few certain people that can pull that off, but that certainly was our girl Elsie. She was something special. You could tell right from that role that there's somebody you wanted to meet and somebody you wanted to work with. She was terrific.
Well, I worked with her in that play, and it really was fun, and that's where we first became friends. And the first time I saw Elsie, She had just had knee surgery, and she was walking with a cane for the audition, and I couldn't imagine how she was going to be on stage with a cane in this role, but that was a temporary thing, and it was wonderful working with her. I really learned a lot.
Okay, and I'm Jim Dowling, and actually I heard about Elsie before I met her. A good friend of mine, Bill Seamer, and I used to kayak a lot, and out there on the water, he used to talk about this incredible actress who was giving him a lot of tips, helping him out with certain parts that he was playing at the riverfront. And so I actually came kind of to know her through Bill before I ever met her.
Well, I met her because my wife was in Dixie Swim Club, and so we all became friends and hung out some, and then geez, I guess it was the Halloween after Dixie Swim Club. One of her neighbors wanted to have an event, so she put together a little group of, and we did a scene from a scary play, and just kept going from there. She ended up directing Scratched Up, the musical, and became very involved with the radio, loved the radio that we were doing, and she was just a good person to be around.
Well, hi, my name is Madeline Stacy, and I met Elsie through Bill Seamer. He called me one day and he said, come over, come over. This wonderful woman just told me she loved me. And so I roared over there and he told me all about Elsie. And then later I had dinner with the two of them and just fell in love with Elsie. We were like soul sisters. And I had the blessing of picking her up when she called and told me she was very ill, and could I come and help her? And so I took her to the hospital and stayed with her until the very end. And it all was a blessing.
Elsie was the only person I've ever heard of who lived on a sailboat in Sausalito, was a docent in Alcatraz. So she would get to work as a docent by paddling her ocean-going kayak from Sausalito to Alcatraz and back. She had an adventurous spirit that was... She'd try anything, I think.
She had a wonderful life. She lived in Greece for a time with her family. She took amazing photos there, and she traveled a lot. She was in England, she was in France, and she was married four times, maybe five. I had no idea she was married. But she really had a life.
Yeah, and for Scratched Up Radio Theater, she was a huge inspiration. She became a very important director for us. She gave us structure. She gave us all kinds of tips. We wrote scripts together. Elsie and I had a good time refining scripts that weren't meant for radio, but we turned them into radio scripts. And I found her advice very valuable. And I miss her.
She was the consummate actress. I finally got to work with her when we did Faces of Shasta County at the Cascade Theater here a few years ago. She played May Helene Box. And what a job she did, just bringing to life that rich lady of Shasta County. She was a kick. She was so much fun. Bob remembers that experience when he played Judge Eaton. But watching her prepare, her preparation for a role was phenomenal. She was a consummate student and just devoured every resource she could on Boggs and brought that character to life. And I'm very sorry that we didn't get to work again. Well, actually we did during Scratched Up the Musical. Mm-hmm. But we had visions of working together in a serious vein. I told her I couldn't think of anybody else in the area that would make a better Martha to my George in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. And that will be one of my great regrets, that I won't be able to play opposite her. She also was instrumental with Axiom Theater in putting together the bucket list. She directed that. Where,
that was her idea.
You know, the idea of the bucket list is everybody, every actor has that role that has eluded them. Sometimes it's because we age beyond what that role calls for, or it's just not a play that will probably be done in our particular area. So The idea was to take a monologue or a dialogue from a particular play that we loved and stage it for an audience. And she directed that. She had always wanted to do, I didn't find this out until later, she wanted to do Summer and Smoke by Tennessee Williams. And she had asked me, you know, I was involved in something else. She said, let's do that one. She says, I want to play that little 19, that little 20-year-old, and you can play the 27-year-old. And I said, well, it's a stretch, but yeah, I'll give it a shot. But
only in my mind.
There you go. There you go. But yeah, love that girl.
Speaking of her preparations, she would build scrapbooks. She would go into an incredible amount of research doing backstories. When she was doing Maud in Harold and Maude, she went back, and Maud came from Austria, and she went back and researched Austrian culture and what was going on, what would have formed her before she came to the United States. She would draw pictures of the costumes. She would draw pictures of the set. She just did an incredible amount of work preparing for a role. She makes the rest of us look pretty lazy.
She even would write letters for Maud. She had letters that her husband Frederick supposedly had written to her. In fact, I found some of the letters going through her things, and I'm going, what is this? Is this somebody writing to Elsie? Because it really wasn't clear. And then I realized what it was. It's really thorough.
Well, I'm remembering the last conversation I had with Elsie. And I happened to mention a kayak trip that she took with Bill Seymour, and it really kind of exemplifies that spirit of adventure. They set off from, do you know what part of the lake?
They went up Pitt River Arm.
Well, yeah, they went up the Pitt River Arm.
So maybe Jones Valley?
Probably Jones Valley. They were gone 4 days, incommunicado. I mean, nobody knew exactly where they went. And they slept on the beach, you know, on the shoreline, and saw all kinds of animals and all kinds of weather. I think it rained on them.
Ran out of food.
Yeah, and you know, and these aren't spring chickens we're talking about. You know, we're all getting up there a little long in the tooth, and it was a huge adventure. And Elsie, you know, even though she wasn't going to be around more than a day or two, that was a precious memory of hers to share with us.
Yes, it was. That was a good one. And it was funny.
Well, likewise, I enjoyed taking her out on all the trails that I knew that she had never been on, and sharing nature. And one day we were out on the other side of French Gulch and spent a lot of time watching the leaves fall into the creek and taking pictures of them. And then another time we were over on the Trinity River and watched a beaver chop down a tree and haul it down the river and put it in his little lodge. And she just loved that kind of thing, and I so enjoyed sharing that with her.
Well, and we haven't even talked about her teaching career. She had quite a career teaching high school and English and humanitas, and she taught Mexican-American community children in Los Angeles. And she has notes from them that were just so touching. She was really appreciated as a teacher. She was amazing. And she was a director, and she directed the Gin Game at the riverfront. And I was her assistant director, and I learned quite a bit from doing that with her and building the set, and we had a really good time.
You know, I want to follow up on that, what you said about her teaching down in L.A. County. She taught at Reseda High School in the San Fernando Valley, and it turns out that I was living down there at the same time. We never crossed paths at the time, but that particular high school could be a little rough. It was one of the first high schools in the valley, I believe, to have metal detectors and bars on the doors. I had occasion working in local government down there to speak at the two high schools in Reseda. The other one was Cleveland High School, and the behavior and the comportment of the students was night and day. from Cleveland to Reseda. I have to admit that anyone that could be so honored, and I don't know if we brought this up, she was honored as Teacher of the Year by the Encino Chamber of Commerce, which is the neighboring community to Reseda in the valley. And to, you know, to be awarded that in that kind of school with those students, that's saying something, that she could connect that well. I mean, here's somebody that we could connect with on an emotional and an adult level as co-actors, but yet she had a way to communicate and interact with these students, these at-risk students. I think it says a lot about her.
Well, and they loved her, and I know that they loved her because I found this huge goodbye card to her that they wrote, and everybody wrote on there, and they wrote the most beautiful, touching things. It just absolutely brought me to tears. And so she meant a lot to them, and it just seems like everywhere Elsie went, she left something wonderful.
Yeah, a while back we were putting on Spare My Brother, adapting it to radio, and we were trying to cast parts. And we had a shortage of actors, and we needed somebody to play the town drunk Hiram. And we were here in the studio and kind of looking at each other, who's going to play Hiram? And Elsie goes, well, I could give it a try. And she just knocked that out. It was perfect, yeah.
Out of the park.
And Hiram was not an easy part to play. I mean, he was the town drunk.
I'll do better, I promise. No more drinking or whatever you tell me.
Pretty much an all-around loser.
Shut up!
Really interested in seeing the Ruggles brothers hung.
We got a sheriff ain't got the backbone to do what needs doing. Pooey!
Of course, this is fictionalized, by the way. So he worked hard with Missouri Bob to make the Ruggles brothers look as guilty as possible.
You want it ugly? You got it ugly. Let's torch the joint!
And Elsie did an extraordinary job. Sometime in the future, we hope to put on a play that Elsie was working on called No Fracto in Sacto. So sometime down the line, with a little luck, we'll be hearing Elsie's work again.
Next is an audio clip from a TV interview for the play Wit, which was performed by Axiom Repertory Theater.
It's not about cancer. It's about a lot of other things. I think this play is important to me, too, because I am a two-time breast cancer survivor, and the challenge of it is really exciting. I'm having a wonderful time right now in my life, being able to do exactly what I want to do, theater. But there's always that the specter that, you know, is there.
Thank you for listening to Scratched Up Radio Theater, a locally produced program on KKRN, listener-supported and volunteer-staffed community radio, 88.5 on the FM dial. If you'd like to help us keep on the air, you can go to KKRN and click on the donate button. No amount is too small to help us out, and we would appreciate it. You can also listen to KKRN live while at the website. Just click the listen button. Thank you again, and good evening.
I remember how she turned to me and said, what good is sitting alone in your room? Come hear the music play. Life is a cabaret, old chum. Come to the cabaret. Put down the knitting, the book and the broom.